Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for nonstop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Happy Halloween. Welcome in. It is the Graybar Sports Open Line on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. Scott Warman in for Matt Pauly. You know, Tom Ackerman, our sports director here, said, "Hey, Warman, you know, Matt's got these young guys. You're an old dude. Can you give Matt a little bit of a break so he can go trick-or-treating with his kids?" I said, "Of course, Aki. I can do that. As long as Paulie gives me all the Reese's peanut butter cups, I'm a happy camper." So that is on Matt Paulie. And for all those running around out there, have a happy and safe, happy Halloween. And thanks for making KMOX a part of your evening here on this Halloween. We'll be here until 8 o'clock. A lot to get to. Of course, Game 6 of the World Series is coming up in less than an hour up in Toronto as the Blue Jays are trying to win their first World Series championship in over 30 years, as it will be Kevin Gausman getting the start against Yamamoto for the Dodgers. And of course, if the Toronto Blue Jays can come away with the victory, they get the World Series championship and knocking off the defending champions. And we're going to talk some baseball, not only the World Series, but we're also coming up here momentarily going to talk about the Cardinals making some moves. You just heard Kevin and Bernie talk about what Chaim Bloom has done to expand his staff to take the Cardinals into this new venture. We'll discuss that a little bit with Chip Carey, the TV voice of the St. Louis Cardinals for us over at FanDuel Sports Network. But the other reason I wanted to bring Chip on, and I don't know, maybe some of you have caught this with some of the things that Chip has said, to, you know, maybe look and see if we can better the game of baseball. And one of the things that we'll delve in with Chip coming up here in our next segment is the fact that Chip really wants to see maybe realignment in baseball. And not only realignment, which would add expansion to the game, but realignment where it's more of a monetary type of situation, especially if you went to four divisions in each league, or eight total divisions if you wind up with 32 teams. And Chip will explain a little bit. The other thing that I thought was really interesting, and he brought it up during one of our telecasts this summer on FanDuel Sports Network, Cardinal telecast, him and Brad Thompson, was the fact that, and those that follow sports, you've seen football where, you know, when we had that team here, you had the inactive list. So you have a roster of 53, but there's like eight players that are inactive. And in hockey, those of you that watch the Blues, watch the NHL, you have scratches. You have two or three players that are scratched. Well, Chip brought this up, and I thought it was really intriguing. He'll delve into it a little bit more about just roster composition as far as Major League Baseball is concerned, because Chip thinks that, you know, maybe to better the game, especially that arms are at such a premium in all of Major League Baseball, that maybe there should be maybe a couple, two, three inactives as far as pitchers are concerned, night in and night out. When you think of pitchers coming up or pitchers that just had pitch, they're not going to pitch, barring some unforeseen circumstances, the next day or the day before. But you also have some bullpen arms that are tired out after they maybe pitched three straight days. So anyway, a little bit more into that conversation with Chip Carey. We'll talk about him. We'll talk to him about that as well as the World Series. Also, as we move along, we'll talk a little hockey. Jim Thomas, who used to cover the Blues for the St. Louis Post Dispatch, GT, good friend, longtime friend, who I covered the Rams with for many, many years as well, has a book out, and we're going to talk about his book. It's called The Franchise, and it's about the St. Louis Blues franchise and their incredible storied history. Yeah, there's only one Stanley Cup championship, but there are so many other stories that involve the St. Louis Blues over the 50-plus years. So we'll talk some Blues hockey, and we'll also talk about Jimmy's book coming up. And by the way, any Amazon outlet, you can get Jimmy's book. It is called The Franchise. It's about the St. Louis Blues, and it's really a terrific read. I've just got it started. He sent me his book, and if you're any type of Blues fan, you'll really appreciate the history of the St. Louis Blues. So that conversation coming up a little bit later on in this hour with Jim Thomas. Then the 7 o'clock hour, shift gears, as I know Kevin and Bernie talked about NFL, and specifically the Chiefs. We'll have the Chiefs game coming up on Sunday, as it'll be the Chiefs up in Buffalo to take on the Buffalo Bills. Kickoff at 3:25 from Buffalo. And one of the members of the broadcast, Dana Hughes, the color analyst, who I did many years of college football, over 20 years actually of college football with Dana Hughes. Just a good, good friend, good guy. Former Chief, who does the broadcast with my good friend Mitch Holtis. Danon's going to talk a little bit Chiefs football and break down this game that's coming up. Big one for many different purposes, as Danon will point out coming up, as that will get going in the 7 o'clock hour. And then, it's hard to believe, I know we got so much going on with football, NFL, college football. We got the hockey going on. NBA just started. We got Major League Baseball World Series. But college basketball is actually getting started on Monday. And, of course, here in St. Louis, it is the home of the Missouri Valley Conference. And Mike Kern, who is the Senior Associate Commissioner of the Missouri Valley Conference, will delve in a little bit of college basketball as the season kicks off. But also, of course, the Valley hosts its men's tournament here in St. Louis. It'll happen in March. It's called Arch Madness. But not only that, but the Valley is also hosting the first and second rounds of the NCAA men's basketball tournament at Enterprise Center the third weekend in March. And so Mike will give us all the details of that. I can tell you this right now, and he'll tell you during the conversation, there are still some tickets remaining for that event. I know we're a few months off, but folks, I can guarantee you, once you get to March and teams start to figure out where they're going to play, those tickets get gobbled up real, real fast. And it's really an incredible event. Of course, heck, we go 20 years ago, back in 2005, and the Valley did a superb job, as some of us remember, hosting the Final Four that was held over at the old Edward Jones Dome. But it'll be the first and second rounds of the NCAA tournament, and that will be at Enterprise, and Mike will delve into that coming up on the program as well. As we get set also for the World Series from Toronto, can the Blue Jays cap it off against the Los Angeles Dodgers tonight up in Toronto? And we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the World Series, we'll talk some Cardinals, and we'll talk things, all things baseball, with the TV voice of the St. Louis Cardinals. Chip Carey joins us next on The Voice of St. Louis.
Now, back to the Graybar Sports Open Line on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Back on the Graybar Sports Open Line,
on The Voice of St. Louis and your home for Cardinal Baseball, KMOX. And it is a pleasure to join us right now here on The Voice of St. Louis. He, of course, is the TV voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, our good friend Chip Carey. Happy Halloween, my friend.
Hey, Scotty, I'm one of those lucky people that doesn't have to wear a costume on this holiday because I'm ugly every day, so this is a rare respite for me. It's great.
That makes two of us. As I opened up the pregame show last night on FanDuel for our Blues telecast, I said, yep, it's pretty scary. It's Vitaly, Federko, and Warman. It is Halloween Eve.
Yeah, the three horsemen of death.
That's right. Hey, let's get to World Series Game 6 coming up here momentarily from Toronto. Yeah. The Jays trying to close it out and become world champions for the first time in over 30 years. And, you know, you can even just be, to me, Chip, a casual baseball fan. You really have to, I don't know if you stayed up all 18 innings like I'm sure most people didn't, but you really have to enjoy. This has been, I think, really a fun series to watch.
Yeah, it's a great World Series because the stars are coming out. The stars are doing their thing, right? That's what you want to see. Look, Ohtani hasn't been himself. For the most part, of course, he had that fantastic game with the home runs and the unbelievable pitching performance for the Dodgers earlier. But, Yamamoto, who's going to pitch tonight, was unbelievable with a complete game in his last outing. Guerrero and the Blue Jays and Alejandro Kirk, who I think is the best kept secret in baseball, have all had remarkable runs in the postseason. And as we see so often, it's the unheralded guys, the Addison Bargers of the world, who do what he did that make the postseason matchup so much fun. Expect the unexpected, and I would expect nothing different tonight. Should be a great game. I hope Toronto can close it out tonight. I think that would be great for the sport. Agreed. It'd be great for Canada as we ponder expansion maybe down the road, get some more people excited about perhaps putting a team back in Canada again someday. But it's, to your point, been a fantastic first five games, and if it goes 6 or 7, either way, the fans of baseball were the big winners, no matter who comes out on top.
And I'm glad to see the casual fan getting a chance to see day in and day out here during the playoffs of Vlad Guerrero Jr. It's like when I've always said this, you know, when you see players from afar, like we saw Nolan Arenado with Colorado, until you actually see a guy that actually plays here and you see him every day, you appreciate him, but not as much. Same, I always say, you don't appreciate Yadier Molina until you saw him every day for 20-some-odd years that he was here in St. Louis. Vlad Guerrero, I think the same way. This kid is a special, special ball player.
He really is, and he's really transformed himself. Remember, earlier in his Toronto career, he was a kid that could hit, but he was out of shape, and he was pudgy, and out, you know, yep. Just this big round mound of goo that happened to hit the ball 500 feet. What has really struck me about watching Vlad Jr. play when he was in St. Louis this year was how nimble he is around first base, how good he is defensively, how lithe and limber that swing is. He is not just a slugger. He is a complete baseball player, and you're right. The face of a franchise in Toronto is Vlad Jr. It's hard to imagine where they'd be without him, and it's hard to imagine where that franchise would be had they not been able to sign him to that big multi-million, $100 million contract. So good for Toronto, good for the game, good for Canada, and certainly good for Vlad Jr. He has not disappointed at all this October, and it's been, as you said, great to see.
All right, Chip Carey, let's turn to our ball club here. The Cardinals obviously making some news. Ollie's staff, Ollie remain the same, but it looks like we're going to see Chaim Bloom get the opportunity to expand thing within the organization from a scouting department, from an analytics department. A couple of additions were announced earlier today, and it looks like Chaim's really in full bloom, no pun intended here, but looks like things are really going in the direction of what we're going to see here in the future with this ball club.
Yeah, for so many years, Scott, it seemed like there was a civil war in baseball, right, between the old school scouts and the analytics, propeller heads in dark rooms figuring out the algorithms as to how to get a guy to throw his slider with more spin, right? I think that what Chaim is doing, at least from my perspective, is it's trying to get the best of both worlds. Let's not eliminate anything that is going to ultimately lead us to the right decisions. And the fact that they are supplementing the scouting department, I think, is great. Eyeballs on players is an important thing. The eye test does matter. So do the numbers, and so do the analytics, and so do the features and things that are below the waterline for most fans, where Chaim has been very, very well steeped, as you know, from his days in Boston and Tampa Bay. So I'm really excited about the hires. I'm really excited about this commitment to, shall we say, a broader brush for the Cardinals to go out and try to rebrand themselves and get back to the top of the division and be a World Series contender. All of these pieces are in place or being put in place, are being done with that in mind. It's not going to happen overnight, as we know. But at least I think there is a sense of direction that may have been missing the last couple of years. You've got a new man in charge. He's putting his stamp on the organization. He's been given the green light by ownership to do that. And as I said before, these aren't necessarily sexy moves, but these are moves that I think that if you add them up, kind of like the way the Tampa Bay Rays play, if you add them up, these 1 and 2 and 3% incremental gains over time should lead to really, really big benefits down the road. So slow and steady, that's the plan. At least that's my perception of the plan. But getting the right people in place to supplement what the Cardinals have been successful at for so many years, I think is a great way of going about it.
And Chip, the one thing that I always mention when I get the question asked is the fact that, look at what he's done in the past. Not only what he did during his run with Tampa, but if you just look at the here and now, look at all the wealth of talent that is now up with the Red Sox or almost up right with the big club. That has Heim Bloom's name written all over it.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, he was given a dictate by the management to trade Mookie Betts.
Right.
Now, look, and no general manager wants to trade a player of that caliber, but when you have a boss and your boss tells you that's what you've got to do, you do it, and you try to make the best of it. Now, the return for Mookie Betts hasn't turned out to be, on the whole, as great as the Red Sox would have envisioned. But to your point, the drafting, the developing, some of the other moves and some of the other acquisitions that Heim and his staff at the time did that were, again, made with the long term in play, I think you're seeing the results of that for the Red Sox. They've got a terrific young core of controllable players that has a chance to be good for a long, long time and play and grow together. And I think all of us in St. Louis would love to see that kind of opportunity develop and have homegrown guys grow up and be stars and lead the Cardinals to greater glories. I think that's his framework. It's worked before, and he's going to hopefully be given time to implement that possibility, and hopefully for all of us get it done sooner rather than later.
The TV voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, of course, is Mr. Chip Carey, kind enough to join us here on the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. All right, a couple of things I want to touch before we let you go, and maybe listeners haven't heard this before, but there are a couple of things that I want to pass along to Cardinal fans, baseball fans out there, that I know you have proposed, or at least this is something that you have come up with. And let's start with the imbalance. Changing divisions and moving things around to make a little bit more of a competitive balance. Explain that to some of the baseball fans out there.
Yeah, I've been a proponent of not only geographical realignment, but economic realignment. And the way you have to do that, one, you got to expand by two teams. And without getting into the long drawn out of that, Oakland's stadium situation is taken care of. They're going to be in Vegas in a couple of years. You've got new ownership in Tampa Bay. The Rays are going to try to get a new stadium here in the next couple of years. And once you do that, you can expand by two teams. You have 32 teams. You have 8 four-team divisions. The leagues as we know them don't exist anymore. We're all playing with the designated hitter. We're all playing by the same rules. We're all playing every other team. So you can balance and realign geographically, which saves on travel. But let's realign economically. There's no reason that Tampa Bay should be in the same division as the Yankees. It's dumb. It doesn't make any sense.
Yep.
Why not put a Yankees, Red Sox, Mets, and Phillies division together? Let the big boys slug it out for the Shohei Ohtanis and the Pete Alonzos of the world if those are the guys that they want to sign. But likewise, if you have a division with, say, Cincinnati and Cleveland and Detroit and Milwaukee, just using those four teams as an example, well, they don't have to play in those waters. But I know if they win their division, one of those small market teams gets into postseason play. And I think my sense is that fans want that. Fans want to know that their team has a shot to get into playoff mode come September and October. And it's a lot more difficult for those teams to fight on the same economic platform as the big boys. I think it makes a lot of sense. I think expanding by two teams adds 56 or 52 more jobs. Not a math major, 52 more jobs. But you realign economically in a way that so much of this labor imbalance that we're worried about and hearing about coming up in labor talks at the end of the 2026 season, much of that, in my opinion, might go away, and maybe that's what is going to be the secret to the long-term success and health of the sport.
And I know a lot of people were rooting for Seattle to knock off Toronto because they were looking for more of a different scene and a team that is one of the smaller markets. All right, the other one that I know you brought up during a couple of our telecasts during this past season, and I honestly, this one I hadn't heard from you before, so I apologize if you've mentioned it before this season, but you and Brad were talking about expanding rosters where we have in the NHL, there's like two or three players scratched, or there are inactive players in the NFL. You only have 45 instead of 53 guys running around on the football field for 3 hours in the National Football League. You said, look, you can make two or three pitchers inactive and still have a 26-man roster.
Chip, I think this is brilliant, especially when we know the pitching is so wholesome right now and so hard to come by in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, well, thank you for saying something I said is brilliant. Can I get you to record that? So I can give it to my wife?
We got it recorded, bud.
Well, look, first of all, service time comes into play and all of that, and paying players major league salaries and all that stuff. Obviously, I get it, but a couple of things. One, I think you should have a bigger roster in April as opposed to September, when guys are trying to get in shape and play themselves into shape. Most guys get hurt in March and April instead of in the middle of the summer. That's number one. But number two, yeah, if you have three starting pitchers that aren't going to play, why not have a taxi squad like they did during COVID, where you can have one position player, maybe one starter, a long man as an and one short inning guy to supplement your bullpen. You know, we're only allowed to carry 13 pitchers, and you know, based on usage, guys don't pitch 3 days in a row anymore. And to your point, when you think about the 18 inning game that the Dodgers and Blue Jays just played, you know, if either one of those starters had gone two innings the very next game, both teams would have been in real, real trouble. So, yeah, I think it's an idea worth considering. Obviously, the Players Association would probably love it because you got more guys getting prorated major league money. But I think for the health of the game and for just the common sense standpoint of getting guys into the game and keeping guys healthy, having healthy scratches like they do in the NHL is at least something to think about and talk about. I think it makes perfect sense. And look, why can't we borrow from other sports? Baseball doesn't have all the answers to every single problem, but why not try what works in other places? And we obviously have discarded what doesn't. Maybe that's something worth considering if you can find a way to make the economics of it work. And as we know, that's the root of all the disagreement between players and owners and fans alike.
Oh, that's another five shows we could talk about there,
exactly.
As you know. Hey, buddy.
Exactly.
Thanks for the time. Chip Carey, of course, TV voice of the Cardinals. We see him on FanDuel Sports Network. And, buddy, we'll probably be catching up a little bit later on in the offseason. Thanks so much.
Look forward to it, Scott. Happy Halloween to you and yours, and we'll see you guys in St. Louis soon. Thanks, buddy.
Now, back to the Graybar Sports Open Line on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Graybar Sports Open Line continues on KMOX. Scott Warman with you, and it is a pleasure indeed. My old buddy, we used to do radio shows way back in the day, back when the Rams were here. Of course, Jimmy Thomas not only covering the Rams, but also covering the Blues before he retired after a stellar career with the Post-Dispatch. He's got a book out. We're going to talk about it as he is our guest right now on KMOX. Happy Halloween, my friend.
Thank you. I'm going as a retired sports writer this year. How about yourself?
That'll fit you well, my friend. That'll fit you well.
Yeah, thank you. No, it's great to be with you, Scotty. Enjoyed those radio shows we did in the past. And,
awesome.
And enjoy your work now, be it radio or watching you do the Blues pre and post. And are you doing any Valley games this year?
We are doing Valley games, too. Absolutely. Got to stay in there. Jack Watkins keeps me employed, too.
There you go.
God
there
bless
you go.
Him.
Always enjoy on those broadcasts.
Well,
you're a great play-by-play man, my friend.
You're too kind, but I really do appreciate it. All right, you got a new book out. Tell the KMOX listeners about it.
It's called The Franchise, St. Louis Blues. It's a history of the Blues, and when I was first contacted by Triumph Books out of Chicago, regional publishing firm out of Chicago, I was intrigued by just that there really hasn't been a history of the Blues, so this is an attempt to do that. Now, I had to do it in 80,000 words, which sounds like a lot, but I think we hit the high spots and some of the low spots. It was a lot of fun to do, Scotty. It was a lot of research, a lot of going through the archives, because obviously I'm not one of these writers that covered the Blues for 30 years. I covered them for only 6 years, the last 6 years of my career. But I mixed in some live interviews and with a lot of research. And again, the Blues, as you know, Scotty, I'm not telling you, very colorful history.
Oh, my gosh. We were actually just kind of reminiscing about it with Bernie just the other day. So when you talk about research, what was a part of your research to look into all of this incredible Blues history over 50 plus years?
Well, I went through and just scoured the Post-Dispatch archives and actually even some papers that were around back when we were more than a one newspaper town, even the St. Louis Star Times, just whatever was in the old Post-Dispatch archives. But I have several chapters about the early Blues, obviously making the Cup 3 years in a row. But a couple of the fun chapters were the period before the Blues were here, and the hockey history before. The one thing that I didn't know until I started researching this book was St. Louis actually had an NHL team in 1934-35. They were called the St. Louis Eagles, and they were transplanted from the Ottawa Senators. They lasted only 1 year. They had financial problems, and then they were gone. And then so St. Louis had to wait a third of a century to get the Blues. And the Senators, my goodness, I don't think, when did the Senators come back? It was around whenever the current incarnation of them. Was that 1990s?
Yeah, it was in the 90s. Yep, absolutely.
Yeah, so they had a long wait. And a lot of that was, it was just fun to look at some of the old history, the minor league history with the Flyers. The Chicago Blackhawks mm-hmm. actually played regular season games here, two seasons in the 50s. They weren't drawing very well at home. They had missed, they were in a stretch where they missed the playoffs 11 out of 12 seasons. And so 1 year in the 50s, they played six games here, six regular season games. And actually in St. Louis, they drew about what they were drawing in Chicago. And then the next year they played five games here, and the attendance went down. And so that was it. So kind of a rich history of hockey, even before the Blues came here. Just one thing about those early days, there was the Flyers, 48-49. They were Western Division champs in previous, not the current American Hockey League, but a previous incarnation of the AHL. They drew 300,000 fans, a minor league team. They actually outdrew the St. Louis Browns baseball team. The Browns were still in town, so they were pretty popular.
I can tell you this firsthand. My grandpa, my mom's dad, went to those games, and he told me about it when he was alive, about going to watch the Flyers games. So he was one of those 300,000 that went to several of those games when they were playing here. And you go back to you mentioned the Blackhawks. The Wirtz family was actually very influential of the Blues and St. Louis getting the expansion team back in the late 60s.
Yeah, no doubt. They own the arena, and kind of ironically similar to when St. Louis stole the Rams, I guess you could say, from L.A. Everyone thought Baltimore was the front runner, and it turned out to be St. Louis. Well, when they added six teams for the 67-68 season in the NHL, the so-called second six, they had given away or awarded five of the six expansion franchises. St. Louis was having trouble getting an ownership group, and supposedly Baltimore was regarded as the favorite then to get the sixth one, but it turned out to be St. Louis, in large part because the Blackhawks ownership also owned the arena, formerly known as for while at the Checkerdome, and they wanted to get rid of the property. So when the Solomon family agreed to buy the arena, that helped seal the deal. So as strange as it sounds, for a longtime rival of the Blues, the Blues don't come into existence without the help of the Chicago Blackhawks.
It is well. I know what the conversation we had with Bernie was. We were discussing, because he just had it on the podcast with Kelly Chase and Brett Hall, talking about the 83 season when they didn't even have a draft. And then Harry Ornest out of nowhere comes in. And of course, Harry was pinching every penny known to mankind. And just Bernie started relaying some of the stories I had heard before about all those 80, especially that 83 year. In fact, I remember the late, great Bobby Plager, who you know, you were around. You know what an incredible ambassador of hockey and just what a character he was. I remember yes. Bobby telling me that he said, Scotty, he said, you know, there would be like six of us that would go into work, and we didn't necessarily have a job. We didn't get paid, but we go to the arena and we go in the office and we just kind of walk around, but we didn't know what we're going to do until we finally found out that somebody owned us. So they were just kind of in peril. Nobody had to know what was going on. There was just no business being done for an X period of time during 1983. I mean, that's just a professional hockey franchise. It seems wild, but I remember Bobby and Bernie talking about this.
I interviewed Bernie about this and used some of it for the book when Emil Francis died. I was on the road covering, I think the Blues were playing in Philadelphia, and talked to him about that time. And Bernie Federko, I mean, he was there for all of it. one of the anecdotes he told was how he had signed some sticks, hockey sticks, and I don't know, giving them to fans or charity. Emile Francis made him take them back and use them in the game. So he was using sticks that he'd autographed in Blues games because they didn't have the money to buy new sticks. He also said the minor league team, which I believe was Kansas City then, they used like hand-me-downs, like warm-ups, warm-up apparel from the Blues. So they didn't even have new clothes. They were wearing used clothes as warm-up material. I mean, they were bankrupt. Emile Francis wouldn't even go to the league meetings because every time he'd show up, they want him to pay bills. Hey, you owe us this much. You owe such and such this much. So every hockey, every professional sports franchise that's been around for a while will say, oh, my God, we have a colorful history. But I defy anyone to have a more colorful history than the Blues. And right after the time when they went bankrupt, then the Blues almost leave town and almost end up in Saskatoon. And, and I have chapters on all that.
Awesome.
Have some chapter, you know, about the Doug Wickenheiser and the Monday Night Miracle, and also his illness, and also Gary Unger and Bob Gassoff and the tragedy there with the motorcycle accident. That there have been some tragic moments with the Blues, obviously some glorious moments with the Blues, and some humor in between.
A lot of humor with those characters. There's doubt about it.
as a longtime beat writer, mainly football, of course, I always got a little jealous of the hockey writers and the hockey media when Hall and Keenan were here.
Oh
my God. Every day must have been an adventure over there. Well, Keenan says this about Hall, then all the media goes over to Hall, and he fires back. Hall was a rarity, especially back then, but even today, you know, hockey players are the friendliest people on earth, but it's not like they're going to be they're not the most outspoken group in terms of sound bites, but Bobby Hall, everything, partly I think it was Brett Hall, I keep saying Bobby. Brett was, he strikes me as someone who, he did it a lot, just a sense of humor, but also he was very outspoken.
Well, you mentioned his dad. The apple didn't fall too far from the tree when we say that is the God's honest truth. All right, Jim Thomas is with us. Let's talk about right here and now with this Blues team. You still follow it, even though you're obviously retired from the Post-Dispatch and obviously winless in their last six. So what are you seeing from this team that has been struggling here of late?
Well, I was really, even though the outcome was wrenching, and poor Braden Schenn, I have just tremendous respect for him to have the penalty shot roll off his stick like that. But, you know, they deserved to win that game. I mean, they played very well. I think they had a 2-1 edge in shots on goal, and a lot of them were, you know, were good chances, good quality chances. So hopefully maybe they're snapping out of it a little bit. But, you know, we've gotten spoiled by the goaltending many of the years. I mean, a long list of great goaltenders all the way back to Jacques Plante and Glenn Hall. But, you know, Binnington and Hofer, they're just overall, they're not playing well. So you have that, and you have just a lot of, you know, like bad plays. We're in the wrong place, the wrong position.
Yep.
And, but, you know, I've been doing it long enough that I know that these things come and go. I think the Blues have a good team. I think they'll snap out of it. And I like I said, I was really encouraged by how they played last night. I really liked, as did a lot of people, I'm sure, what they saw from Dvorsky. And Snugger is just going to get better and better. I mean, he's got a wicked shot. And Scotty, he's not afraid to shoot. The Blues need more people to shoot the puck. And it was encouraging to see Buchnevich over the second half of the game be a little more aggressive on the offensive end. Berube, when I covered the team, he used to get on Buchnevich constantly about shooting the puck. You've got to shoot the puck. You don't have to be as selfless as some of these players are.
Well, there's no doubt. Pavel is definitely a selfless guy, and I agree. He definitely needs to shoot the puck, and it did look, you're very spot on. Buchnevich looked a lot better in the second half of last night's game than what we've seen him, and they need him. Yeah, he's going to be really important, especially, Jimmy, when you think about the losses of Robert Thomas and Jake Nibbers, who's off to a great start. But we know losing Thomas is so huge for this hockey team right now.
Yeah, it is. And well, Neighbors too. He was mm-hmm. he was playing fantastic, and hopefully Thomas won't be as long term as Neighbors is. But you know, when something like this happens, it just opens up opportunities for other players. And if you're Dalibor Dvorsky, you want to make it impossible for the Blues to send you back down. You want to play so well that they want to keep you up there. And it's given some other players more minutes. I really like what I've seen from Matthew Joseph. Now, he's not really what you would call a finisher in terms of offensive skills, but he's very fast, and he's sound defensively, and is a good asset to have as maybe a third line or even occasionally a fourth line guy. And so I think this is maybe allowing him to get some more minutes. And like I said, some of the other players, it's just look at it as more of an opportunity because injuries happen. And you saw Vancouver was missing a couple of their top guys. And you just got to put your head down and make the most of it.
Jimmy Thomas, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. And again, folks, if you were a Blues fan, you're going to love this because I've known Jimmy for a long time. And he puts his blood, sweat, and tears in anything that he does. And you got to check this book out. He was kind enough to give me a copy of his book, and it's called The Franchise. It's all about the history of the St. Louis Blues over 50 years and some incredible, incredible stories that he explained to you there in our conversation that we had with Jim Thomas. And again, go to Amazon or any of those bookstores, and you can check out Jim's book, again, The Franchise. All right, quick break on the Great Bar Sports Open Line, and we'll wrap up hour number one when we come back on The Voice of St. Louis.
Now, back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Scott Warman back with you, sitting in for Matt Pauly on this Halloween edition of Sports Open Line on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX. Great to have you alongside. Hope everyone's having a very happy and safe Halloween. And we got more coming up in the second hour of the program. I want to thank our good friend, the TV voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, Chip Carey, joined us. We talked a little baseball as they're getting set for Game 6 from Toronto. By the way, baseball fans, George Springer, who was not in the lineup for the Jays in game number 5, is in the lineup for the Jays here in game number 6 as they try to close it out as Kevin Gausman gets the start for Toronto against Yamamoto, who has been just absolutely tremendous for the Dodgers, not only in the World Series with his complete game performance, but really throughout the entire playoffs as he'll get the start for the Dodgers as Los Angeles trying to keep it alive. They're down 3-2 in this elimination game up in Toronto. Coming up in the second hour of the program, we're going to talk some football. Of course, Kansas City Chiefs and Chiefs football right here on KMOX as 3:25 will be the kickoff on Sunday as the Chiefs will be in Buffalo to take on the Buffalo Bills. Dane and Hughes, a part of the Chiefs broadcast with the voice of the Chiefs. Mitch Holtis will join us, and also coming up, we'll talk some college basketball. The season kicks off on Monday, but we'll be hosting the NCAAs coming up, and we'll talk about that when we come back on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. And with no long-term contracts required, you can change your setup whenever your business needs change. Protect your business with powerful features designed to keep you in complete control. Get round-the-clock audio-video recording for non-stop protection. Stop scrolling through hours of footage. Find almost any events efficiently with AI search. Keep an eye on up to 4 camera feeds at once across all your locations for total peace of mind. Get trained security professionals to monitor your business around the clock and request emergency when needed. Ring Business is easy to install yourself or let our professional installers do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most, running it. Ring Business, business security that works for you. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.
Now, back to the Graybar Sports Open Line on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Happy Halloween once again from all of us here on KMOX. Scott Warman with you, in for Matt Pauly, who's doing a little trick-or-treating with his kids right now, and I'm hoping he is having a blast. I hope you're having a blast, and thanks for making us a part of your Halloween night here on KMOX. A lot more sports conversation coming up in this hour. Again, thanks to the TV voice of the Cardinals, Chip Carey, along with our buddy Jim Thomas, as JT talking some hockey with us. And coming up in this hour, we're going to talk some football, of course, the Chiefs in action. You can hear it here on KMOX on Sunday as they will take on the Buffalo Bills. 3:25 is the kickoff. Mitch Holtis, the voice of the Chiefs, will have the call. His partner is Danon Hughes, who I called college football for 20-plus years with Danon. And so Danon's kind enough to come up and join us in the next segment. Also, speaking of college basketball, it tips off on Monday night. And in fact, St. Louis University is in action. We'll have it for you here on KMOX as they will take on Southeast Missouri State, as Josh Schertz now in year number two. Mike Kern of the Missouri Valley Conference, he's senior associate commissioner. Michael will join us. We'll delve into a little bit of Valley basketball that gets underway, and conference play in the Missouri Valley gets started in December. But of course, it all culminates with Arch Madness, the Missouri Valley Conference men's basketball tournament, in the first weekend of March. Always a great event. I've been blessed to be a part of that for over 20 years. Gosh, I'm really starting to show my age here tonight. Anyway, Mike is going to join us. We'll not only talk about Arch Madness, but it's been a while. The Valley has hosted so many events, NCAA basketball events here. We've had regional finals. We had a Final Four 20 years ago in 2005 over at the old Edward Jones Dome. They've hosted a couple of women's Final Fours. Well, they're going to host the first and second round of the NCAA tournament over at the Enterprise Center, and we'll talk to Michael about that. And again, it's a tremendous, tremendous sporting event. If you haven't been, Mike will tell you that there are still some tickets to be had, but if you want to go, I do it early, because once you get to March, man, those tickets get gobbled up really, really fast. And so we'll talk to Mike coming up a little bit later on in this hour of the program. But as we mentioned, Jim Thomas joined us. And again, he has that new book out talking about all things concerning the St. Louis Blues and the franchise. The book is called The Franchise, St. Louis Blues. Go to Amazon or any other book outlets and check it out. Jimmy does a fantastic job. But we were discussing about this current Blues situation. I know a lot of people were excited about what transpired last year, despite the unfortunate finish in the playoffs, where you almost knocked off the Winnipeg Jets. But so much young talent, and obviously over the last 2 weeks, the Blues have been winless in their last six games, only picking up a point last night and an overtime loss to the LA Kings over at the Enterprise Center. But I thought the Blues personally played so much better hockey last night. And one of the things, if you go back to almost 2 weeks ago when the Dallas Stars were in town, the Blues won that game 3-1. And the Dallas Stars are seriously considered
a possible Stanley Cup contender or even a Stanley Cup championship team. They have so much talent, and one of the top goaltenders in Jake Ottinger between the pipes. In fact, between him and Connor Hellebuck of Winnipeg, they're probably going to be flipping back and forth as far as minding the net for Team USA once we get to the Olympics in Milan, Italy, coming up in February. But the Blues just played a perfect game that night. Only one goal given up. There were only 19 shots on goal. But one of the things I've learned, whether it's working with the Hall of Famer Bernie Federko or Darren Pang or Jamie Rivers or Joey Vitale now, or the Hall of Famer Chris Pronger as well, and so many others, is you got to clog up the middle. And the Blues did a great job of clogging up the middle, especially from a defensive aspect, to not give those high percentage shots on Jordan Binnington or Joel Hofer. And I think the Blues did a better job, still need to do a better job, but did a much better job last night compared to the previous games. The other part, it was very evident from the get-go that the Blues were trying to get to the middle of the ice on the offensive end, get high-percentage shots. Unfortunately, they only scored three goals, but they had double the amount of shots, as did their opponent last night. And for the Blues, I think that was definitely a step in the right direction. But it is true, and I'm not making excuses. You can call me, a homer or whatever. But when you lose a guy that Robert Thomas is really the straw that stirs the drink for the Blues, that's a huge, huge loss. And hopefully Robert Thomas will be coming back in the lineup sooner rather than later. I don't believe it will be tomorrow night. Monday could be a possibility. But Robert Thomas is just – he's the one guy probably more than anything else. And in no disrespect to Jake Neighbors or anyone else, but he's probably the one guy you can't afford to lose for an extended period of time. And yeah, I know last year they kind of kept their heads above water when Thomas was out with the injury, but Thomas is so important in so many different aspects. But one thing that I talked to so many people about with this hockey team is, yeah, the start hasn't gone the way that anybody would have liked, much less the fans, the organization, the players, the coaches, you name it. But there's still so much of a season. But to me, the future looks so bright. And I think last night, if you're a Blues fan, you're like, wow. You know, Snuggie had that incredible goal. He's an incredible player to play the entire 200-foot game. And for his third game suiting up in the NHL, I thought Dalibor Dvorsky looked so much different than what we saw in the two games where he got a cup of coffee, if you will, last year for the Blues. And it seemed like Dvorsky was just kind of trying to feel his way around. But he's so talented, and it's really jumped off to a great start over the last couple of weeks for the Blues AHL affiliate in Springfield. And Dvorsky, I thought, looked terrific. And at least until Robert Thomas is out of the lineup, you'll see Dvorsky in there. And, you know, you still have room on your 23-man roster where you can keep Dvorsky, because obviously Thomas isn't on the IL. It's going to be intriguing. But if a guy like Dvorsky, he's going to be in the lineup. They're not going to scratch him and have him up in the stands watching the game if he's going to be up here with this team. But it goes beyond Dvorsky. You have a ton of talent that I know is very highly thought of, not only within the organization, but in a lot of NHL ranks that's not only in Springfield. But if you're a Blues fan, you got to be excited, especially with your last two first-round draft picks. You think about Justin Carboneau. He made a name for himself as just an 18-year-old when you think about what happened during the preseason and during training camp. But I think the other bright spot is Adam Juracek. Here's a young man who was picked at first round last year in 2024, and a defenseman who has a world of talent but has dealt with so many injuries. And I think one of the things that really impressed the Blues organization is what Adam did in the offseason. Not only got healthy, but he got himself bigger. He's got about 20, 25 pounds added to him. And not only that, they thought he looked tremendous. In fact, some were telling me that they were at least kicking the tires that have potentially, remember, you go back to Alex Pietrangelo back in the late 2008, and he stayed with the team for about nine games before he had to officially keep him, and they put him back down in the juniors. There was actually, I guess, conversation being had by the Blues of potentially doing that with Juracek. That's how highly thought of they think of this young man. But the biggest thing is for him to stay healthy. He's off to a good start with his team down in juniors, and if he stays healthy, I would not be surprised if he really gets a legit shot to be a part of the 23-man roster if he continues, again, to stay healthy and play the way he's playing. My whole point of this is the future is really bright with this organization. There is a ton of talent that isn't even here, and you even look at the Dvorskys of the world and the Snuggerugs, among other. I mean, even throw in Broberg and Holloway, who are only, what, 23, 24 years old. These guys are young, and this is what makes things, I think, really, really exciting And yes, as Jimmy pointed out, it's true. Jordan Binnington and Joel Hofer would be the first ones to tell you that they need to play better. But with a guy like Jordan Binnington, I have no worries about him. He's going to turn it around, and I think Joel Hofer will too. He's just in a rut. It's a part of the game, and I have full confidence. And folks, it is early. It is early. Let's see how this whole thing plays out. All right, we're going to take a quick break here on the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. And when we come back, we're going to talk some football. Chiefs football analyst for the Chiefs Radio Network, Danon Hughes, joins us next on KMOX.
Now, back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
As we continue on Gray Bar Sports Open Line on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX, and of course, KMOX also home of Kansas City Chiefs football. And we'll have the broadcast coming up on Sunday. Big matchup for the Chiefs as they will take on the Buffalo Bills in a 3:25 kickoff. And when you listen to the games, you listen to our good friend, the voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holtis, and our other good friend who joins us right now. He works with Mitch, and of course, Danon Hughes, a part of the broadcast, as he joins us on KMOX. Good to catch up with you, buddy. How you doing, man?
Doing all right, brother. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I would imagine there was some concern in the first couple, 2-3 weeks over there in Kansas City of the season, but things seem to be smoothing out all right now, right?
No concern at all, Scotty.
I'm not talking about you now. I know you got it under control.
See, the thing is, we care about ratings, and we don't want to get so far out in front of everybody that the games start, you know, they start turning away from our games. That's why we play so many close games, because we care about the ratings, sponsorships, all that good stuff.
That's right.
No, I would say this. Honestly, yeah, after the Super Bowl debacle in New Orleans and then to start this season 0-2, there was definitely some concerns. But having said that, if you remember back opening the season, we were down Rashee Rice because of his 6-game suspension, and 3 plays into the game, we were down Xavier Worthy. And I've said to people since those weeks, name me a team in the NFL that could lose their number one, number two starters and play the defending Super Bowl champs and another team who is now second or in the AFC, was first in the AFC West for several weeks. It just wouldn't happen. So, if you look at our losses, 3 losses on the season, all 1 score, and then the 5 games we've won, they've been pretty decisive. So we're comfortable where we are right now, hitting our stride in week 9 and looking forward to this matchup.
Well, let me ask you this. Danon Hughes, of course, part of the Chiefs broadcast, and we'll have the broadcast with Mitch and Danon coming up at 3:25 with the kickoff between the Chiefs and the Bills, and we'll break down that game coming up here with Danon just momentarily. You notice any difference of why the team is where it's at now, seems to be hitting on all cylinders compared to several weeks ago when the season started at all?
I think you can look at the production. Yeah, the infusion of energy from Rashee Rice for these last 2 weeks definitely helped. But this Chiefs team, the offense is number 4 in the NFL, and the defense is number 5. Like, that's a recipe for success at any level, to have both your offense and defense playing well. 3 of our 5 wins in the NFL. Now, you and I have done college football for many years, yes, but in the NFL, to look at a team in week 9 and say they got 5 wins, and 3 of those wins, the team did not score double digits. Like, that in itself. And when we're talking about the Chiefs, yeah, the highlights and the headlines are garnered by Travis Kelce, Patrick Mahomes, Rashee Rice. But this defense is really the reason why we are where we are and why we feel comfortable about every opponent that we're going to face. The offense is playing at an amazing clip. We're scoring 28-plus points in 5 straight games. We've had a 100-yard rusher in 7 straight games. So, like, the recipe for success is running the ball well, playing really good defense, not turning the ball over, and that's pretty much has been what we've been able to accomplish.
Danon Hughes, the analyst for the Chiefs Radio Network, joining us here on KMOX. And I know I've told you this, and I know I've mentioned this to Mitch in conversation as well. It really is something to see what has transpired with this Chiefs team and what you guys have done in the long run. Played a lot of football over the last several years and successful football. And I just remember, Dana, and I know I've told you this, is I remember when the Rams were here in the greatest show on turf. And after a couple, two, three long seasons, those bodies, you played the game, they were beat up. And knowing to try to, and granted, back then, even when you played, there was two-a-days, you know, it's not as rigorous when you get into training camp compared to those days. But still, it's a long season. And for the Chiefs to be able to continue to put out top-of-the-line product year after year after year, I think is something to be said. I think we saw it a little bit, obviously, with Brady and Belichick with the Patriots. But, I mean, this is really something that I know nothing lasts forever, but I think something I hope the Chiefs fans realize that is uncharted territory that you guys have been in for the last several years.
Yeah, it has been a special window of time. You consider Patrick Mahomes has been in the league. This is his ninth year, his eighth year as a starter. And we always joke around the Chiefs Kingdom that there's a generation of people that think this is normal.
Yes.
You were just talking about the 90s and the late 90s and early 2000s in regards to the greatest show on turf. And you got a situation where now we have a window of time where we're playing really quality football and we're playing the most football of any team in the NFL. I'd probably even venture to believe it's any team in NFL history when you consider adding the 17th game and then this team over the last 7 years not playing in anything less than the AFC Championship. Like, it's a special window, but the bar has been set. And these guys are not looking for any breaks. They're not taking any trips during the bye weeks. They are focused on the ultimate goal of going to San Francisco and representing the AFC in another Super Bowl and redeeming themselves from that loss last year against the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't know if it'll be the Eagles that'll be there, but whoever it is, the Chiefs have them in their sights. And that's what's great about being in this window of time, man. As a fan, as a broadcaster, like, we're spoiled in a good way, and these guys do not look or give the feel like they are happy with it, like they're content with their successes. And I'm along for the ride with them.
Yeah, and greatly so for you and Mitch. I'm so happy for you guys. And that's all a part of leadership, as far as I'm concerned. As many years as I've covered multiple sports, whether it's the NFL, NHL, or Major League Baseball, is that strictly Andy Reid, or is that also a part of Travis and Mahomes being leaders of this team?
I think it's a mixture. There's a really good blend of leadership on this team. Like, you don't have the craziness like we hear in the Baltimore Ravens organization where they're taking out pool tables and video games at a locker rooms, and the Miami Dolphins where you're having team meetings and other teams that players only meetings and stuff like that. It's not that. And even when you look at the losses that we had, yeah, there might be a little bit of fiery display on the sideline, but you don't see any uproar. Like, it's just about the next play, the next series, the next down, the next opportunity. And I think they all take on the character and the persona of Andy Reid. Like, he's pretty mellow. He's not going to be, you know, in the face of anybody. There might be a time here or there where he has to check Travis Kelce, or he might be in the ear of the official, but it is not the norm as we see around the league. And that calm, cool, collective mindset and the preparation. And then the one thing I think gets overlooked, Scott, is that he allows everybody to showcase their personality. And those guys have fun. If you watch this game these last 2 weeks against the Raiders and the Commanders, like, they were in the Delaware wing tee. They were in the L bone with running backs, with wide receivers in the backfield. Patrick Mahomes was split out. They were doing direct snaps, wildcats to Rashee Rice, advances, coordinated dances in the end zone, all of those different things he encourages. It's not just these guys kind of going off on their own. He encourages input creativity from other guys, and it's equated to a lot of wins.
That's awesome. All right, big matchup, as you know, coming up on Sunday up in Buffalo against the Bills. I saw this, and it really surprised me. The Bills right now, from an offensive standpoint, are a better running team than a passing team. That surprised me. That's quite an accomplishment for the Bills.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a different matchup, and this is the first time. Now, consider, it's almost like the Bills are in the AFC West because we played them 10 times.
Right.
This will be the 10th time since 2020 that we play them. Next year's schedule already has us slated to go back there and play them during the regular season. So if we play them during the postseason again this year, like, you're talking about just as many matchups as we've played the Raiders and the Broncos. But the fact remains is that this team is different. This year is different. To think that this matchup, although I think it's the most important regular season matchup between these two teams that we've seen during this Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen era. And here's why. Every other year, this matchup is usually talked about as the two best teams in AFC, and whoever wins is in the lead position to be the number one seed in the playoffs. This matchup, based on the two losses that the Bills had prior to their bye and the three losses that we have, you're really talking about a team that's the second in the AFC East and a team that's tied for second in the AFC West. Playoff position, wild card implications. That's totally new for what this matchup has ever been. So it adds a little nuance, a little twist to it. It's still important. The crazy thing is that I'm sure on Monday morning there's going to be a lot of people who see whoever wins this game is definitely going to have a lead into the Super Bowl, and they still may not even be leading their own division. So it tells you about the potency of each team, but this matchup is so important. And I can only imagine from a Bills standpoint, when you consider four of the last 5 years, your season literally ended by the Chiefs.
Right.
It ended by the Chiefs. So there's got to be some scar tissue.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm sure they're going to be amped up for this.
All right. So before we let you go, one last one. Danan Hughes will be on the broadcast with Mitch Holtis. Chiefs and Bills coming up here on KMOX. What do you think a key is to the success for another victory on Sunday for the Chiefs?
I think it's got to be right in line with what you just spoke about, stopping the run. James Cook has been outstanding, leads the NFL in rushing. Josh Allen, we know his exploits when he utilizes his legs. Because they have not been able to throw the ball as well as we've seen them in the past, they haven't really gotten as much out of Keon Coleman as they would have liked. Joshua Palmer has been injured, probably won't play. So I feel like their recipe for success is going to be running the ball. So we got to stop the run, force them to be one-dimensional, and then continue to put touchdowns up on the board like we have over the last few weeks.
Should be a good one. Bills and Chiefs, they'll kick it off at 3:25 up in Buffalo. Danan and Mitch Holtis will have the call for you, and we'll have it here on KMOX. Always appreciate the time, my friend. You guys have safe travels.
Appreciate you, brother.
Now, back to the Graybar Sports Open Line on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
As we continue on Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX, and it is a pleasure, he is a senior associate commissioner with the Missouri Valley Conference. Mike Kern joins us as college basketball season, Michael, is going to tip off on Monday. Here we go, buddy.
We're very excited. It's been a long wait since the tournament in March, and we are ready to go.
And a lot going on. We're going to get to that as we continue with the conversation with Mike here on KMOX as far as the Missouri Valley Conference is concerned when we get to the month of March. Drake Bulldogs have been a great story back in the tournament again last year. They get a victory before being bounced out. What does the season look as far as the Missouri Valley Conference is concerned? Who are some of the favorites that they're prognosticating for in this 25-26 season?
You know, it's really hard. It's like you look at, as you're looking at the season coming up, most people are looking at who returned the most players.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Illinois State, Northern Iowa, and Belmont. And those are the three teams that are probably going to be the favorites in our league. But Murray State and Drake, good programs, good good commitment to basketball. Drake won 31 games last year, of course, beat Mizzou in the NCAA tournament. Murray State returns no players as a new coach, but they invest in basketball. So those five teams that I mentioned are probably the teams that are going to be like looking at a chance to win the league.
And for Drake, this is three coaches in 3 years. Now, granted, Darren DeVries was there for a while before he went to West Virginia, now at Indiana. But you have Ben McCollum, one and done, goes to Iowa. Now you bring in a guy from over at South Dakota State that has had a lot of success. But I would imagine for Coach Henderson, a lot of pressure because of all that success in Des Moines for the last several years.
You know, Eric is great. Eric Henderson is great. He's had some success. He knows the region. He knows the Drake culture. I'm not worried about Drake having another great year with a new coach and a new roster. They returned basically no players that had a lot of minutes last year, but that's a culture and a village that they've created in Des Moines, and Drake is going to be in the mix.
As Mike Curran from the Missouri Valley Conference joins us, we'll have Arch Madness. We'll talk about that here momentarily coming up in March, as well as other things involving the Valley here in St. Louis coming up in the month of March as we get to the NCAA tournament. But you mentioned the Illinois State Redbirds, and here's a team that's unusual, like most teams, whether you're a Power Four or not, as Coach Ryan Peden is bringing back a whole allotment of not just players, but terrific players who are some of the top players in the entire league.
Yeah, 2 years ago, we lost almost every player on our first, second, and third team all-conference. Now, Illinois State had two players, first and second team last year, that returned. That's rare. That's rare for a league like ours where our top players have other opportunities and certain players decided to stay. So Illinois State has been very successful on retention, and I think Illinois State is ready to be poised to get back in the NCAA. It's been a long time for the Redbirds. They haven't been in the NCAA tournament since 1998,
wow.
And they are eager and ready to get back.
And, Michael, you know another team that brings a lot back. We mentioned the Northern Iowa Panthers, who, as many basketball fans know, kind of the darlings of, you know, some of the upsets that they had with Kansas, as you and I both know, but the other teams, North Carolina, top-ranked team, knocked off at one time as well. But a lot of people, you know, go to Cinderella, and you and I has been there. And through that time, Ben Jacobson continues as the head coach in his 20th season. They finally get back to the 20-win mark. I think it's going to be interesting to see how the Panthers come out this season with so many returners for Ben as well.
Yeah, and Illinois State, like Northern Iowa, has returned a lot of players, and Belmont is in that group, too. Mm-hmm. We're returning a bunch of players from last year. And Northern Iowa is poised to have a very successful season. And our non-conference season is so important, Scott, as you know. It's like we have to get the wins there, and there are fewer opportunities to play those high majors because the bracketed events are less opportunistic than they used to be. So you're playing other high majors, and you just have to win those games. You have to like create a resume early, and I expect that our top teams will be able to do that.
So what's your take? What is the league's take as far as expansion that we will, I think, see sooner rather than later in the NCAA tournament to potentially as many as 76 teams? Do you think this is going to be an advantage for a mid-major conference like the Missouri Valley Conference to get more than just one bid in?
Yeah, absolutely. Our commission has been very supportive of the expansion of the tournament, the NCAA tournament. And we've had, like, in the last 10 years, we've probably had three or four teams that would have been in that mix to be in the tournament that didn't get an opportunity to play previously. I think it's going to be advantageous, and we can't be naive. It's like you're looking at maybe eight more spots, and six of those will go to the high majors, but we will be in a position to where one or two of those spots will be deserved by one of our teams.
Yeah, and you look at, obviously everyone knows nationwide, Indiana State, who made the run in the NIT because they were squeezed out of the NCAA tournament, definitely one of those teams, as we know firsthand, that was probably worthy of making it to the field of 68. All right, Mike, we mentioned the Arch Madness, and it is coming up as it always does here in St. Louis. Give us a little details, a little bit change, because instead of four games, we have three games in the opening round night, but obviously a whole weekend of great basketball here in the Gateway City hosting the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament again.
Well, so as you know, Scott, it's like it's our 50th all-time tournament. Not all 50 have been in St. Louis, but it's our 50th anniversary of the tournament, and we're very excited that St. Louis and Enterprise Center and the sponsorships that we've had in St. Louis have been very supportive of our event here. We're excited. We're ready to go. And you mentioned that the tournament's different with no longer 12 teams in the league. We have 11, so we have three games the first day instead of four. We're ready to go. It's going to be great.
All right. And busy month of March for you guys, not only for Arch Madness. You have the women's tournament the following weekend, but now it's been a while, but you and the entire staff at the Missouri Valley Conference will be hosting the NCAA tournament first and second rounds. Give a little detail to some of the KMOX listeners, Mike, on all of those things that will be happening here in St. Louis coming up in March.
Well, 2 weeks after our tournament, Enterprise Center will be the host of another major event, an NCAA tournament. It's been a long time. The last time we were able to host something in St. Louis was 2016. Remarkably, we were scheduled to host in 2020. And of course, the virus hit, and that was ended the season for a lot of teams. But we are raring to go, and it's there are tickets still available. But we know that we're going to have great teams within the region that are going to be here, and we're very excited and ready to bring basketball and the NCAA tournament back to St. Louis.
And that will be the first weekend of the NCAA tournament again, first and second rounds. And again, you mentioned, more importantly, for all the basketball fans or just even sports fans out there to get a chance, there are still some tickets remaining at the Enterprise Center for the opening round action.
Yeah, and it's going to be a great event. It's always St. Louis has been such a great host for the NCAA tournament. That's why they keep coming back.
Yeah, and we always go back to 2005 when you guys hosted the Final Four over at the Dome. It was just a spectacular weekend. It was so great for our community, what you guys put together, and it was such a great event. You guys do such a superb job. All right, Michael, we're going to let you go. Happy Halloween to you and Terry. And again, real quick, before we let you go, tell folks Arch Madness how they can find out for tickets and other information.
Just go to our website, archmadness.com, nbc-sports.com. We're excited about our tournament. We're excited about the NCAA tournament. Excited about basketball starting on Monday.
Should be interesting. That's Mike Kern, Senior Associate Commissioner of the Missouri Valley Conference. Join us here on Graybar Sports Open Line. Stay with us as we'll wrap things up right after this.
Now, back to the Graybar Sports Open Line on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Scott Warman back with you as we're winding down this Halloween night edition of Sports Open Line on KMOX. In for Matt Polly. Thanks for hanging in with us and talking some sports here tonight. Thanks to Mike Kern, Senior Associate Commissioner of the Missouri Valley Conference. Again, college basketball tipping off on Monday. The NCAA tournament here in St. Louis at Enterprise Center. Third weekend in March. Should be a lot of fun. Should be a lot of fun on Monday when the St. Louis University Billikens tip off their season against Southeast Missouri State at Chaffetz Arena. And, of course, the longtime voice of the St. Louis University Billikens and from Lindenwood University, Bob Ramsey, my man, the Rammer. And, of course, another great grad from Lindenwood, the awesome one, Earl Austin Jr., will bring you Billikens basketball. Should be a great season for the Bills this year in year number two under Josh Schertz, who is one of the terrific, terrific basketball minds. I had a chance to get to know him really well when he was at Indiana State in the Missouri Valley Conference, and SLU making a great move bringing Josh over to work out with the Billikens program. Baseball tonight, of course, game six of the World Series in Toronto as the Blue Jays trying to close it out as they have a 3-2 lead in this best of seven series over the defending champion Los Angeles Dodgers. It's Yamamoto and Gausman on the mound, and both, they're doing well, and no surprise with Yamamoto as well. So he's pitched throughout the entire playoffs as Toronto only has one hit off of Yamamoto, and former Cardinal Tommy Edman gets the first hit off of Gausman, and they are playing in the bottom of the third right now. And there's no score between the Dodgers and Toronto, as they've just done a intentional pass to Shohei Ohtani as they play in the top of the third, I should say, two outs, and Dodgers and Blue Jays are scoreless. And again, as I mentioned, Chip Carey, who joined us in the first hour, I've really enjoyed watching this World Series. I think it's been very competitive, and I think one of the things that sticks out to me more than anything else is, you know, when you have players, I'm sure most people, and you could even be a diehard baseball fan, you don't get to see the Blue Jays that much because they're a Canadian team. They're up in Toronto, so you don't even get to watch them on any of the national telecast, as that ball is fair by Will Smith, and Tommy Edman will score to give the Dodgers the early lead at 1-0. But getting back to this World Series and getting to see Toronto up close and personal, Vlad Guerrero Jr. is an incredible ball player. And as Chip pointed out, you know, when he first came into the league, of course, his father played and was very great during his career in Major League Baseball. He was just kind of a bigger kid, a little overweight, but could hit the heck out of the ball. He could hit it 50,000 yards. I mean, forever and a day. Well, the kid wound up getting a little more svelte, but he's got great athletic ability. And I remember when the Cardinals were in Toronto back in 2024 and seeing him work and his footwork over at first base really impressed me. But I was talking to somebody, and in fact, it was Mark Sweeney, who works with us on our telecast on FanDuel. Mark's very well-versed, knows the game inside and out, works for Fox as well when he's not working for us on FanDuel. And Mark said, he goes, this guy actually wants to play third base, but they don't want him to put him there. They want to keep him over at first base. And it was, I believe, the third game of a three-game series between the Cardinals and the Blue Jays. And he made a couple of incredible plays, even on third base, and had an arm. I mean, he gunned it, not like Nolan Arenado, but he gunned it across the diamond. And just my point is, I'm glad that, you know, the American public, baseball fan or just casual sports/baseball fan, is getting to watch Vladdy Guerrero Jr. on an everyday basis during these playoffs, because the kid really is special. And it is great to see, even though it's Toronto, it is a bigger market, but to see a guy like Vladdy Guerrero Jr. and his prowess not go to L.A., not go to New York or Boston or any of the big markets, Philadelphia, you can even throw in the Cubs at least a little bit. It's good to see a market like Toronto be able to keep a guy like Vlad Guerrero Jr., and obviously it's paying dividends. Of course, they have a terrific team around them, even though they trail the Dodgers by a score of 1-0 right now in Game 6 of the World Series. Also, thanks to Jimmy Thomas for joining us. He has The Franchise. That is a book about the whole franchise from day one and even before day one of the St. Louis Blues, and you can go to Amazon and check out that book. And the Blues head out on the road. Just a quick one game, as they're going to be in Columbus to take on the Blue Jackets tomorrow night, and that will get underway at 6 o'clock. Wild day in Columbus. They'll have that Ohio State-Penn State game in the noon kickoff on Fox, and then later on it will be the Blues and the Blue Jackets from Columbus, as the Blues trying to stop a six-game winless streak, picking up a point last night, and then the Blues will be right back at it on Monday, as they'll be at home to take on Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers, and then the Blues go back on the road. So they have a lot of hockey coming up, and obviously, stating the obvious, the Blues just, they flat out, like Oscar Sundquist said at the end of the game last night, we just need a win. And it is true, because when you have a response like that from a guy who is a Stanley Cup championship winner, that tells me a lot, that it's becoming a little even frustrating for guys like him, Colton Parayko, Braden Schenn, Jordan Binnington, guys that know how and what it takes to win a Stanley Cup championship, being a part of the 2019 championship team with the St. Louis Blues. But you think about the grind that it is for a lot of the younger guys that are on this team that are kind of learning the way or starting to get to learn their way, and they're going through this process where it's like you can't do anything right. And again, as I mentioned before, I think a step in the right direction last night. We'll see if that carries forward with a road win tomorrow against the Columbus Blue Jackets. And again, coming up on KMOX on Sunday, Sports on a Sunday with Tom Ackerman from 10 until noon. And then we have Chiefs football coming up a little bit later on Sunday, as the Kansas City Chiefs take on the Buffalo Bills. It'll be a kickoff at 3:25 from upstate New York. And as Dana Hughes, the analyst on the Chiefs broadcast, joined us earlier in this hour, big game for the Chiefs. And as he pointed out, the fact that just trying to get yourself home field advantage positioning for the playoffs, it's hard to believe you're just talking to the 1st of November or the 2nd of November on Sunday. But yes, you have to look at that instance of where you're going to be able to position yourself to try to get that home field advantage throughout the playoffs. So big game indeed, and obviously a chip on the shoulder, as Dana pointed out, with the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen. Here's a terrific football team that more times than not has run into a machine and haven't been able to get past the Chiefs to make it to the Super Bowl for the Buffalo Bills. Maybe this is the year. Who knows? I think it's really intriguing to see what transpires, especially with this Kansas City Chiefs team, because I really sit back and I tip my cap to what Andy Reid and that entire organization has been able to do when you played as much football, as Dana pointed out, as they have over the last, what, 7-8 years. It's pretty incredible to see how much football they have played, and they're still able to win and play at such a high, high level, because I can tell you, when the Rams were winning, it was a lot after a couple, 2-3 years. Those guys that were on the Rams teams that year, to get back into it, especially for training camp after having 3 long seasons, it was a lot on those bodies. And those guys for Kansas City have been doing it for a long time. Mookie Betts has just hit a 2-run double, and the Dodgers have now taken a lead 3-0 in the third inning in Toronto against the Blue Jays, against the Jays again with a 3-2 lead. Folks, thanks much for joining us on Sports Open Line. Again, Tom Ackerman will have sports on a Sunday. That's coming up on Sunday at 10 here on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
Ring Business puts you in control with protection that's flexible, secure, and easy to set up. No long-term contracts required, just security on your terms. Take control of your business security with Ring Business. Get 24/7 audio video recording to capture everything and look for specific moments efficiently with smart AI search. Install it easily yourself or let our pros do it for you. With Ring keeping your business secure, you can focus on what matters most. Running it. Compatible subscription required. Additional restrictions apply. Visit the Ring Business page on r.com for more information.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This podcast is brought to you by Kleenex Lotion Tissues. You can't predict sick days, but with Kleenex Lotion Tissues, you can be better prepared for them while helping keep your skin healthy. Whether it's a surprise sneeze or a stuffy nose, it's always good to have something gentle on hand. Kleenex Lotion Tissues moisturize to help prevent skin irritation while you're battling those unwanted cold and flu symptoms. It's extra care when you need it most. I mean, why not have one less thing to worry about when you're not feeling your best? For whatever happens next, grab Kleenex.